Tonight, Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Check out all of the latest fall TV shows that you've been missing with a 2-week free trial of Hulu Plus. Use our link, huluplus.com/Rob.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are live here on Wednesday night, November 5th. Yes. Yes, that's right. That's right. ready to go. Here we go. The two guys who will not quit, even if somebody touches our trail mix.
Well, I apologize to America for being so late. I was just in shock over the end of this episode, and I was going to quit. I was going to quit life, you know, like I was ready to quit Survivor. I was so upset about this. What a terrible, terrible end. What a stupid quit. Not since Nyanka and Purple Kelly has someone quit after the merge. I believe that is accurate. I'm in shock. And I mean, not in shock because we all saw this coming, but I'm in outrage.
It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. I felt like other than this, I felt like it was shaping up to be the best episode of the season. But then we have this thing, which we're going to address here in just a couple of moments. Anyway, very excited. Thanks for everybody for hanging in there tonight for Survivor Know-It-Alls. And Steven, all right, let me just take care of business. And then I want to vent a little bit. About
GCB
this.
In a flash.
Yes. All right. So, of course, this is Survivor Know-It-Alls. Tomorrow, we are scheduled to speak with the latest person who left Survivor. Julie should be our guest tomorrow, barring any updates.
She shows up, right?
Have not heard. She is committed or scheduled to appear with us tomorrow.
Right. Like she was scheduled to be on the show Survivor.
Yes.
So don't get your hopes up.
But right, just as she was scheduled to play until her torch went out. Again, I will let you guys know if we have any changes to the schedule. We'll do our big podcast tomorrow. Parvati will be the guest on Rob as a Podcast.
No! Parvati.
Yeah. Good, right?
That's great. Good. It's a good get. It's a good get, as we say in the business.
It's a good get. And we will talk to her. And as well as we will check in with Josh Wiggler for your voicemail. So a jam-packed show on Thursday.
Wow, that is a lot. You got a lot going on tomorrow.
We got a lot going on tomorrow, but let's get into it. Let's talk about this because we'll talk about everything with Jeremy and Josh and all that stuff. But we have to start with Julie because I mean this might be the worst quit ever, in history of the show.
You can make a case that this is a worse quit than Nyanka's, and I'm ready to make that case, Rob.
Yeah, I don't think that there's even an argument because it seems like for the most part, when people quit, it tends to be associated with weather. And I know that we had the weather in the last episode. We had the really bad storm. They lost their tarp and everything that happened. But it's almost like that she was on the verge of quitting beforehand with that. And then we sort of recovered from that. And now it's the merge and we ate. And to quit over the... from the reasoning we got was there are all these couples around and I thought I was going to get to play Survivor with my loved one and I don't. And your loved one is John Rocker that you're upset that you didn't. Most people would be, oh, I have to go be with John Rocker. I'm out of here. She's mad. And you know what? I'm trying to think right now, Stephen. Yeah, John Rock, that this is probably the cutoff now because she's not on the jury, right?
I hope not. I hope they don't make her on the jury. I mean, she could have been, right? It could be 9-3. And that was probably, you know, the way it was intended to be. It was a final of three people and a merge of, merge of 12. It's a 3-9-person jury. But I hope they don't let her on the jury. To Jeff Probst's point, kids spend a longer time away at camp. And, you know, we all know that that's not totally an accurate assessment. You know, at camp, there's a loving group of counselors. You have your bunkmates, but not everyone is out to get you. You're not starving necessarily, unless it's fat camp, in which case maybe you are. But at camp was the point, you know, unbelievable to me. Unbelievable.
No, and Jeff, I got to have a problem with Jeff tonight. Yeah. I know it was Jeff's birthday this week. So happy birthday to Jeff. But I thought Jeff was way too much with the kid gloves on Julie at the point.
So your birthday present for Jeff is criticism.
Yes. Tough love, Jeff. Like Jeff should have had with Julie, because I remember back when when Jeff was a younger man.
Right.
Survivor Pearl Islands. Okay. Austin wants to quit the game. Similar time. Around the seventh or eighth episode. Austin wants to live the game, and Jeff read him the riot act, and Austin didn't want to quit because he missed John Rocker or somebody touched his trail mix.
Austin wanted to quit because there were terrifying like seagulls around,
right? And Austin was like pretty much butt naked on an island. Like, he sold his suit on the first day of Survivor and was pretty much butt naked for 21 days and had tougher circumstances than Julie did. Not to go back in time and defend Austin here, but rightfully so, Jeff took his torch and threw it on the ground and didn't get into, tell me about your relationship with John Rocker. What's that like? Are you guys just you have to like always just be together? Is that like you guys are
so
just
adorable.
Finish each other's sentences and stuff?
Do you think there's any part of Jeff that is okay with this outcome? Because, you know, this episode was about these two alliances coming at each other. And, you know, you didn't know who was going to win, right? And we'll get into that in a minute. But now we get three more days of that. And if we had it and one alliance won, then the boring starts, right? Then that alliance starts picking off the other alliance. But this quit gets to extend that drama for another episode.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that Jeff, as the producer, like the Jeremy versus Josh, this protracted, you know, battle between them, this Cold War, which is about to boil over. That's fantastic. And that's great. And as viewers, we're lucky we're going to get to see that play out for another week and get to talk about it for another week. So that's going to be really, really fun. But this whole thing was so stupid. The whole quit over freaking trail mix. I know it's going to be, oh no, you don't know how bad it was. You don't know the weather. And I really miss John Rocker and all this stuff. But it seemed like from what we saw, what pushed her over the edge was that she had the trail mix and then everybody caught her. And that's what this is about. That just to give you,
She felt bad.
Yeah, she felt dumb about the trail mix. And, you know, Missy tried to go out and talk to her and say, hey, you know, we need you. And she was like offended
how dare you try to use me for your strategic purpose? You don't care about me.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, to be fair, you know, why should Julie stay in the game to help someone else out if that person only wants them to use them for one vote?
But it's not using you. You know, you get more money the further that you go. So it's like,
that wasn't Missy's argument, right? Like Missy's argument wasn't, you know, you get more money, don't quit, you'll be embarrassed. You know, her argument was like, let us use you for one more tribal council.
Yeah.
It wasn't about Julie at all.
So you're saying that Missy did a bad job. So there was a lot of this tonight, and we'll talk about it in context with Josh. You know, people not paying attention to the 49 laws of Survivor about how never, ever say
expect
to someone
to repay.
It's always good. You got to make it about self-interest. And so maybe Missy didn't do a great job with that, but I didn't think Missy was bad with that. She said, hey, where are your loved one? You know, we need you. We love you. I thought Missy was okay there. I mean, you could nitpick that for sure. But I don't think that it was,
I thought she was okay, but she wasn't emoting, you know, she was lecturing a little bit.
And that works with your daughter, but not with John Rocker's girlfriend. So, as far as Julie, what she was saying, that she just kept saying that she needed to You know, she had to do, she cannot compromise what she needs for herself right now. And I just thought that was such a loser argument you know, I have to do what's right for me right now. And that's quitting Survivor to go hang out with John Rocker and eat as much trail mix as I want.
Not even hang out with John Rocker, you know, quitting Survivor to also be away from John Rocker in a different maybe they get to go on the journey.
No, I think they're going to get to go together on, and maybe that was why this had to happen right now, because then if I'm on the jury, but I mean, is John Rocker that great that you got to hang out with him for that long?
Yeah.
Can't not hang out with John Rocker for 3 weeks?
Maybe there's a softer side.
I don't know. Julie was somebody, and I was high on her coming into this season.
I thought there were moments in this game when I thought Julie could win.
Yeah.
Early on, I was like, Julie could be a contender to win. And, you know, that was before I was overcome with Josh fervor, but, you know,
but on the record, I said that I'm okay with John Rocker being in because I think his girlfriend is going to be a player. I think she's going to be interesting.
I was wrong.
Wrong about that because she took an opportunity and she wasn't going to get voted out tonight because of the trail mix. She was gonna be in the mix. She could have been a swing vote, and she really hurts the Jeremy Missy side.
Yeah, no, she does, and it's really unfortunate because the power dynamics were pretty interesting and fun, as we'll discuss in a minute. And it kind of sucks that we're now.
And you know what? And you know what? I thought she had the moral high ground about the trail mix thing. I thought everybody else was unfair to her about the trail mix. I didn't have a big problem about what she did with the trail mix.
Did you? Trail mix. You guys ate your trail mix. Now you're trying to get Julie's trail mix.
Yeah, I thought they were wrong to go in her bag and go ahead and start eating her trail mix. And I thought that she had the right of way there. And I thought that she could have even, you know, played that better. But, you know, just to walk away from this over for the reasons that she gave was just, you know, it's a slap in the face to, you know, everybody else that's out there. And, you know, I'm happy because we get to see the Jeremy and Josh thing play out another week, but this was just,
and we get to miss out on the Julie elimination. Let's say there's two other options, right? One is we have a Julie boot episode, which super boring. And the other is that Julie makes it to the finals, which is also like super boring. So, in some ways it clears the field a little bit, you know, dramatically it extends this big conflict, personally, obviously I think we can all be offended by it. And, you know, as she says, you guys don't know, you guys aren't the one out here starving. You're not out the ones who are out here in my skin experiencing what I'm experiencing. But you know what? There's a bunch of other people who are, and they are not quitting. So, you suck.
And you had a merge feast. You just had a feast.
Again, the feast, you are always hungrier after the feast. The feasts make you hungrier.
The feast makes you hungrier?
It does, because you're full and then you puke it or you excrete it in some other way. And then you're starving. You're like, your stomach from having tasted food wants more food. So my experience with rewards was always that I was much hungrier after the reward.
Okay, well, we'll try to get to the bottom of this. Scheduled to speak with Julie on Thursday. All right, let's get into the actual strategy, because I thought that this was really, really a very fascinating insight into the dynamics of the game with 12 people. And we really got to see both sides and how the sides are maneuvering for this coming battle. It was almost like, you know, sort of like both sides sort of mounting their forces. And really with no reward challenge, we really got to see both sides everything that they're planning and who's saying what to who.
And because no tribal council, right? Because also we were like, that's another benefit, is that no tribal council means they got to extend the strategy of the boot for another five or of the episode for another 5 or 6 minutes. So it was really a lot of strategy.
A lot of strategy. So let's pick it up with both sides, okay?
Can I do a mea culpa first? Again, another mea culpa to this episode. You were right and I was wrong. Where you said it's going to break down to couples versus singles. I said, I think it's going to be alliances. I think there's actually a hybrid that happened, but the couples argument came into play in a big way. That was what you said. You said, these couples are going to see they've got the numbers. They're going to want to band together naturally. That's basically what happened.
Well, I appreciate that. But that's what makes it fun to talk about, because there was really two different ways that it could have played out. And it just seems like for the people who are in the couples, it seems silly to vote out somebody that's in a couple, because you're making an enemy when you have all these people who are not in couples, when you could just pick them off. And when it's like coming down to like, just like in the beginning of the game of like, what's that easy first vote? It's an easy first vote after the merge to get rid of somebody who's not in a couple. And ultimately that's what happened. So sort of amazingly, with 11 people left, there are 8 people who are in couples and only 3 people that aren't right now. And so this is going to be a really, really interesting vote. And it looks like between the tribal divide and then singles versus non-singles, it looks like on top of this, we're going to add in a layer next week of men versus women.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, right, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe it's a red herring. But still.
It is weird. And I need to go back and watch this scene again. But am I wrong that Alec is in the couples alliance?
Alec is with the Josh, Reed, Wes, and Keith thing.
So it was funny when Josh and Reed were making the case to John and Jacqueline, like, oh, we got to stay together as couples. We got to be together. You know, Jeremy's against the couples and Alec is sitting right there. Am I wrong about that?
Well, the way it actually shaped up is that there's couples in both factions of the alliance right now. So on one side, we have the solid pairing of Josh, Reed, and then Wes, Keith, and Alec are on their side. And then you have on the other side, you have Muffin and you have Baylor. And then you have Jeremy and Natalie, who are a de facto couple. Okay. And then you have John and Jacqueline are in the middle. And that gets us up to 10. And who am I missing?
Wes? No, you got.
So Josh.
You missed Wes and Keith, right? Or
Is that right? Or I have everybody. Okay. So that's 5. That's 9. That's 11. Because Julie's gone now. So you have really now John and Jacqueline are the pair that could swing it, because you have 5 on one side and 4 on the other. And then ultimately John and Jacqueline are kingmakers right now.
Right.
And wherever they go, they'll bring the numbers. Which is fascinating, because they're not super intuitive to the game, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like John has this quote, I always say don't switch, because if you switch, you're on the bottom. And, you know, that's something we on this podcast, or certainly I have said over and over again, is don't switch, because if you switch, you're on the bottom. But John says, I think I'm going to go and switch anyway.
Well, what side do you like here for John and Jacqueline? Now, they could go with the
I like the side of the people who have been with them for weeks. You know, I like Missy and Baylor and Jeremy and Nadia and
Natalie and Julie.
Because you know, then they're in a pair with another pair, and then 3 singles. So they actually, as couples, have the majority of that 7, right? So if it's like John and Jacqueline and Missy and Baylor are 2 couples, and then with Jeremy, Julie, and Natalie,
that's
like
fair.
They at 7 can pick off the other 3 versus them flipping over to this Josh alliance where Josh, Reed, Wes, Alec, Keith are super tight. They're not penetrating that group. So, you know, they're screwed if they make that jump. Like, they're the ones who are going to go next.
Yeah, because it really is faulty logic on the part of John to think that Jeremy is going to be picking off the couples if he goes with him, because Jeremy is not going to have the numbers.
Jeremy is one dude, and there's 2 other single people, and then, you know, Alec as well, who is team couples.
Yes, he's with now there's couples on both sides, so don't make it couples versus.
I guess the reason I'm saying couples is because that was Josh's argument, right? Because yes. You're right, there's couples on both sides, there's singles on both sides, but Josh's selling point, his rallying cry, was couples unite.
You know, now the lead that we buried here is going back to last week, and Muffin, who we've had a lot of fun with this season, but I think has played a halfway decent game, though last week she really screwed the pooch with this Keith vote, because she decided to split the votes and then she did not handle this well. And then to further it, the way that they handled it at the top of the episode sent Keith and Wes direct, or sent Keith in particular directly to Josh and Reed, where
it was terrible. Anytime you put votes on someone, they're going to be pissed.
Yes.
You put two votes on, then they're going to be especially pissed. And you know what? Keith said, like, why didn't you just let me know? And would he have been happier if they had let him know? I don't know. I mean, he'd still feel like the odd man out in that situation. But it's certainly worse to like find out at the tribal council as you see your name come up and you're like, oh my God, is it me?
I thought what was particularly damning was the way they handled it the morning after, where I feel like rather than a 4-on-1 conversation, I think that conversation needs to be a 1-on-1 with Muffin, John, exactly. and with Keith. All what right. what do you think of that 1-on-1 versus the group talking with Keith?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Then it sounds like they're lecturing him and he immediately feels outside of it too. You know, and when everyone is making their case, then no one is really connecting with him. And he's inherently just going to feel like he's not a part of that group where they're all like telling him about their great move.
Yeah, because if they have Keith in tow, this isn't even a question. I said in our voicemails last
week.
Yeah, because I said in the voicemails last week with Snowy, with Michael Snow, we were talking about this, and I was really concerned about the position that Josh and Reed were going to be in, because I felt like the Jeremy Alliance was going to be targeting them, and then also that Missy was going to be coming after them, and I just didn't see how they had the numbers. And I said, it's by the grace of Keith, will they be able to get through this thing? And well, sure enough, Keith ends up going right back to Wes, and he says, I don't care about Missy.
I mean, the chance is that, you know, there's also the issue of like, I think Keith probably would have gone back, right? Like Wes said, his tightest bond was with Josh. Keith had a good bond with Josh at Exile, right? They had their little alliance there. I think it's likely that Keith would have gone back either way. I don't think he was ever so tight with Missy and Baylor and John and Jacqueline that he was sticking around with that group.
But from what we saw, and of course there's more than what we get to see, there was very little of courting of Keith that was done. They weren't
They didn't have to, right? Sure. By that point, they definitely didn't have to. But I just think I think Keith is a lost cause for Team Jeremy.
I don't know. When I did my exit interview with Dale, he said that Keith was doing whatever Missy said. So
yeah, because he wants to stay around until he meets up with Wes and screws them over.
But there was no, like, they did a bad job of they had him in the fold and they let him escape.
I don't know. I don't think he was as in the fold as you think he was. I think he was like eking by in the best way he could. But they certainly didn't really bring him into the fold. They had an opportunity and they botched it.
Okay. Let's talk about let's talk about the Josh courtship. Let's go with Baylor. Josh's courtship of Baylor, that he went to her and said, hey, Baylor, remember, I saved your butt, so why don't we get back together? And Baylor was conflicted until a mom said no.
Well, first of all, to your point about the 49 laws of survivor power, downloaded on robhasawebsite.com.
/49 laws.
Do not expect, you know, gratitude. You know, that's Josh's argument was not a great one, even, you know, that like he saved her, so now it was her turn to save him. And obviously did not do such a great job of swaying her because she was immediately swayed back.
Yeah, the example that we talked about, or one of the examples that we talked about, is going back to Survivor All-Stars, where Lex ended up saving Amber and then coming to Boston Rob and saying, like, hey, buddy, remember how you owe me a favor? Well, now it's time to pay up. And Boston Rob is going to say, you know, actually, I'm going to do this other thing. So you're screwed, buddy. So, and this is, you know, Josh coming to Baylor and saying, like, hey, remember when I helped you out? Now, again, we saw no mention of the first tribal council where Josh pulled the move where he ended up voting for Baylor in the first tribal council to throw everybody off the scent. I thought we were going to see for sure, you know what? Josh voted against me in the first tribal council. I don't have to watch his back. So Baylor seems legitimately conflicted.
I mean, we've seen enough scenes of Baylor saying, I don't owe Josh anything anymore. You know, I don't know. Josh has not been a true ally to me, to know that she's not really as deeply embedded with Josh, or not deeply as committed to Josh as Josh might believe she is. And I think that I've said all along that Baylor was Josh's blind spot, that he thought that, you know, that his perception of her alliance, of that alliance, was incommensurate with her perception. And, you know, we saw today that to be the case. Didn't really look like that was going to have an impact. I mean, it looked like that, you know, that, you know, they were still going to get the numbers and be able to vote out Jeremy.
She was conflicted. It certainly seemed, but then mom comes in
Mama Bear.
Mama Bear comes in and is like, oh, hush now. Hush now. Listen to me. Listen, you do as I said. You're not allowed to make an alliance. You have to do what I say. You get in the back seat and let me drive. You have to learn how to be phony. Just shut up and smile and do what I say. Do you think that at some point Baylor will rebel against Missy?
I actually thought for a moment when I was watching it, that's what they were setting up. I was like, oh my God, this is the moment. This is the Sierra Moret moment where Baylor, votes her mom out. I had like an inkling, and you just know that the producers are sitting there on the beach being like, yeah, what about voting your mom out? Would you ever do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love that analogy of shut up and get in the back seat. I mean, I just think it speaks so much to that relationship that we've gotten to see.
Did she say that to Baylor?
I believe she said, suck it up and smile, get in the back seat and let me drive.
Oh yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So,
that is such a perfect mom analogy. That is really great.
Yeah. And we can go back to the Friday video, Rebecca Black. What should you kick it in the front seat or get in the back seat?
Yeah.
Which seat should you take?
Either way, she's looking forward to the weekend. She's got her bowl, got her trail mix, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's not the song she's singing. It was again, a sticky situation for Baylor, and we'll see how she gets out of it. Let's talk about Jeremy.
Yeah. Jeremy, seething. I feel like Jeremy is ready to explode with strategic vigor.
He's always ready to explode. And that's what's great about Jeremy. I really like watching Jeremy, and I was nervous that he was going to get taken out tonight. But
me too.
That, you know, the governor called at 11:59 and said,
Day of execution.
Yes. A stay of execution
to explode.
A stay of execution for Jeremy.
So Jeremy's move, and what do we think here? Jeremy really, his whole move is just to poison people against Josh, right? Is that his core strategy?
Yeah, he's really anti-Jeremy and Josh. And it's sort of a tough argument to make, because what he needs to do is say, you know, Jeremy and Josh are a strong couple. And I feel like if I'm Missy and Baylor, I think right. I might say, boy, Jeremy really has it out for the couples here.
Right.
You know, this argument that he's making about Josh and Reed, I feel like he could very easily make that about me. Missy and Baylor don't seem like they never really seem interested in, hey, let's go with the 8-person thing.
Yeah. Missy and Baylor, or at least Missy, right? She seems like pretty loyal to the whole to Jeremy and to that alliance.
Yeah, they seem very, very loyal to it. And then the problem is going to be that should John and Jacqueline go with the Josh and Reed thing, I feel like that deal is going to be off the table.
Yeah, that's interesting. What do you mean?
So Missy and Baylor through Baylor says, you know, no thanks, Josh. We're not interested in the 8-person couples thing. We're doing our own thing, which is voting you out, Josh. And so now let's say John and Jacqueline swing over with Josh and Reed.
Missy and Baylor are not. Yeah. They're cut out for sure.
That deal is off. That deal is now off the table.
Yeah, no, of course. It's one or the other, right? And it's interesting that they went to Missy and Baylor first because they thought Missy and Baylor were the ones who were likeliest to swing because of Baylor, and then they go to John and Jacqueline because like that's who they got. That's who else is there, and they convinced them. And you know what? I want to give props to my man Reed, who this episode I feel like Reed had a crucial line this episode where the whole group is gathered around John and Jacqueline, and they're all chattering at them. And it's Reed who says, you got to watch out for Jeremy. He's targeting the couples. And very casually says that. And John says, is he now? And you can basically see the gears turning. And it is that point that John pulls Jacqueline aside. Is like, we got to flip.
Yeah. It's really, really interesting. There's so much strategy going on. Do you think, Steven, that either Jeremy or Josh played it too hard this week?
I mean, they both played pretty hard, right? Like they both sort of like left it all on the field. And we're, you know, ready to do anything to win over allies. And, you know, I think that does become kind of transparent, right? When you're strategizing very aggressively, but ultimately people want to be on the right side of the numbers. So even if you're transparent in your strategy, you know, and that's also, I think, a real strength of having a couple is that you can be slightly less transparent, where Josh can say something and then Reed can reiterate it. So the person is hearing it from two sides and two sources rather than it just being one person repeating the same mantra over and over again. And that's why pairs are so effective in this game. And that's why I think, you know, Reed and Josh are so effective.
Very, very interesting decisions that are going to be coming. Real quick. Let's just talk through winners and losers of the Julie quit tonight. Big winner, Jeremy, correct?
Yeah, it really looked like Jeremy was about to go home. Big winner, definitely Jeremy.
But the irony is that he thinks he's a loser. He thinks it was a bad thing that happened to him. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, he was so sure that that he had the numbers to get Josh out.
You know, in some way, every single person in the game was a winner. I'm having a hard time. Like, ironically, the loser are the people that think that they're the winners. The people that won think they lost, and the people that lost think they won, because Josh and Reed were assuming John and Jacqueline kept to their word, they were going to get Jeremy out tonight. They had this all set up in front of them, but they think that they won because somebody from Jeremy's alliance went home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's that, right? I definitely think getting rid of Jeremy would be a bigger win for them, right, than getting rid of Julie. So definitely it looks like if anyone is a loser, Josh is a loser, Reed is a loser. It's an incremental loss, right? Certainly, I mean, that alliance is going to look a lot less attractive to John and Jacqueline. Although the counter argument is maybe it also looks less threatening. Maybe with one person gone from Jeremy's alliance, Jeremy is less threatening and therefore actually more threatening, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because he's a bigger threat. He's like just like Sandra is so threatening because she doesn't seem threatening.
Right. The less threatening you seem, the more threatening you are. Jeremy, by losing an alliance member, could actually gain some maneuvering room. Who other losers? What about like singles? What about Natalie and what about Natalie? Is she a loser? I feel like she could be a loser.
Is Natalie a loser due to this? You know, she loses an ally, but she doesn't, you know, her other ally doesn't go home tonight. So her more important ally, I think she's a winner because her pair is Jeremy. That's her tight ally. By the sheer fact that Julie went out and not Jeremy in this vote, I think that she is a net winner tonight. Assuming Jeremy's the person that went home.
Right. With that, that's the assumption we're basing all this on. So everybody wins. Really, everybody wins. Except then, and if anybody loses, it is the Josh and Reed alliance, right? Who had their chance to cut their head off the dragon. Probably will still get another chance next week, but you never want to lose that chance. Literally the same thing happened to me in Token Chains. I hate it when, and I don't want to like relate everything to me in Token Chains, but at our merge episode, exact same situation. We had the alliance ready. We were going to go vote out Brendan, and Joe was medevaced. And we were like, we have to keep this together, this fragile alliance, for 3 more days. Now, obviously we did, you know, because we're awesome, but it's hard. It's hard.
It's exact same situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a single from Stephen Fishback. Where are you thinking of going with the fishy tonight?
Reed. Yeah.
Really? Reed for that one comment over that everything that Josh was doing, you go Reed?
Well, Josh has won some fishies, and I feel like I want to acknowledge, you know, the unsung heroes. You know, this is the moment, this episode, where nothing really went down. Is the moment to say let's raise a glass to Reed.
You know, I'm a Reed fan. I think that's a bit of a stretch.
I just look. My feeling is he is a vital part of that duo, and he's getting overlooked. You know, he is a Survivor fan. He's an athlete. He's a strategist. We see him strategizing with Josh. I want to give him the man a moment in the sun because Josh is really getting all the credit for that team. And you know, why not? Who would you give the fishy to?
I mean, I think I would have to give it to Josh just because that he was the more active part. From what I understand, it's your award. You do what you want.
No. I mean, I appreciate it. I appreciate a healthy debate.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like based on what we saw and nothing that we're speculating from interpreting things from what we imagine, I would say that from what was on the screen, I would have to say you give it to Josh.
I mean, I think Josh played had an amazing night. I think I've given Josh a couple fishies, and it just felt like here's a time when you can't necessarily say Josh 100%. Just let's let Reed have a fishy. I mean, he did great. We saw him strategizing. First episode he had that he's had without exclusively talking about food. Let's give the man a break.
Okay, we'll go with it. All right. Yeah. So, Stephen, we're going to get into people's questions. I didn't set this up at the top of the show, but of course, you can send in our questions, hashtag RHAP. Also on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. As I was all fired up here about this quit, but we'll get your questions up in just a moment. But let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls. Those are our friends over at Hulu Plus, Stephen.
Well, finally, an opportunity to talk about Hulu Plus. I was denied last week. Thank you.
Yes, we'll love to talk about Hulu Plus because, Stephen, it's the fall TV season because the fall TV is great. You could sit there. You could get your big bowl of trail mix and just sit there and stuff your face and watch all the fall TV. And you don't have to worry about, like, Baylor and Alec coming in and yelling at you.
Yeah. As you know, I watched The Simpsons Halloween episode. Great episode on Hulu Plus. Hilarious episode. The Clockwork Orange bit was really just perfectly done. So I would recommend that.
Well, in addition to The Simpsons, right now Hulu Plus has current season episodes of your favorite shows like Sleepy Hollow, Bob's Burgers, Once Upon a Time, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Modern Family. If you're not caught up on these shows, you can catch up on Hulu Plus just like Stephen Fishback. And now Hulu Plus is so much more than just plain old regular Hulu on your computer because it lets you watch every episode of shows like South Park, Family Guy, America's Next Top Model, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and The Real Housewives because Hulu Plus works on your computer, smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, pretty much any streaming device you already own, Steven, and that's worth a fishy in itself.
You know, you don't just have to watch The Real Housewives. There's also The Thick of It, this great British show, which I would highly recommend to any people who love. It's by Armando Iannucci, who does a Veep, fantastic show, very clever, very smart, starring Peter Capaldi, who's now playing Doctor Who. So I would recommend watching that on your Hulu Plus subscription as well.
It's a better gift to give your loved ones than a crab.
Yes, fair to say.
Because with Hulu Plus, you're in total control to stream as much as you want, whenever you want. Binge watch all the shows that you're behind on for only $7.99 a month. Watch all your fall shows anytime, anywhere. And you'll get the hookup for the RHAP subscribers 2 weeks free when you go to HuluPlus.com/Rob. 2 weeks is better than one because as Julie McGee could tell you, two is better than one. Because she thought she was going to get to play the loved one as a pair this season, and she had to only play as one.
2 weeks was longer than Julie had left in the game. Well, that's not entirely.
That's not true. Yeah. That's not true.
It's about as long. Yeah,
but you get what we're saying. You get what we're saying.
Yeah.
So go to HuluPlus.com/Rob. Get the free extra week and let them know that we sent you when you use our link because you get a better deal and you help support the podcast. HuluPlus.com/Rob. That's HuluPlus.com/Rob. Let's go ahead and get to your questions here tonight live on a Survivor Know-It-Alls. All right, Steven, start us off here tonight. Perry White.
Perry White wants to know, hey, Rob and Steven, because Keith won immunity, but there was no tribal council, will there be another immunity challenge next week, or will Keith's immunity still be in play? There will be another immunity challenge.
Yeah, is that what happened in Token Chains?
There was another immunity challenge in Token Chains.
So who had the immunity? Do you remember?
I think Tyson won immunity, Tyson probably, yeah. And then Brendan almost won it, and then Tyson won it again.
Yes.
I believe that is accurate. Okay. I could be wrong about who won the first one.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Let's go to Deck725. Are they ever going to see how dangerous Missy can be? She seems like she has no emotions at times, and she's willing to do anything to keep Baylor safe. Dangerous combo.
I agree. Missy is a dangerous player. And you know what? This season gets a lot of guff. And I think we are first among those people who watch it for giving it guff. But some really good players, some people who are playing hard. You know, you got your Josh, you got your Reed, Fishy Winter Reed. You've got Missy, you got Natalie, you got Jeremy, you got, I mean, Keith probably. There's some.
Well, let's take it down a notch, Sparky. People.
Yeah.
No, you make a fair point, but now you're selling past the close with
right, but five people is a lot in any season of Survivor.
Yeah. Can you make a comparison for Muffin? Could you compare her to a previous Survivor player to sort of put her in context?
I mean, is she a Laura Moret?
Boy, maybe Laura Moret 1.0.
Yeah. Like, she's a strategic. I think actually that's a very good comparison. Laura Moret 1.0. She's tough. She's strategic. She's trying to run her group with an iron fist. She's not doling out massages like Laura 2.0 or getting all weepy about Baylor. She's got her stuff together.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so let's take another question here, and let's go to Brendan Fitzpatrick. Fitzy wants to know, didn't seem like that much trail mix. I think that part was kind of blown out of proportion. Steven.
So, I mean, they, you know, at first I was like, that's not a lot of trail mix. And then they kept on going back to the well for the trail mix. A lot of people, they kept on like handfuls and handfuls of people of trail mix. So I think it was more than we were aware. And on Survivor, even a little bit of food is a lot of food.
Yes. And it would not be Survivor if Survivors were not blowing tiny things out of proportion. I mean, going back to Survivor Australia and the beef jerky and Survivor Amazon, the granola bar, all of these times with between the crispy rice and all these things are just like, you know, minuscule portions of food, just completely overblown. That is Survivor.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what? Food of all things, hoarding food, you know, real faux pas. I mean, we've seen a lot of food conflicts over the years, you know, from the banana wars to various rice wars to like the way the rice was, you know, the crispy, you know, we've seen a lot of food conflicts. If you can take away anything, it's don't hoard food in any capacity. You know, be incredibly equitable with food unless you're Tyson and you eat it all openly. What Tyson did was he ate all the food openly and he laughed about it. That is the real move. But she did not do that.
I mean,
Michael Whitaker wants to know.
Can I just call Julie out here? Okay. Julie was on both versions of the Hunapu all you can eat free for all. Okay.
Yeah.
She was there when Missy was cooking all the rice. She was there when Jeff Probst brought all the rice. She was there when they won reward last week. And got to eat all of the beef kebabs. She was there when they had the merge feast. So really, Julie has eaten quite well this season.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you though, that's the hungriest is when you eat a lot, you get the hungriest. Yeah. And you know what? She should have just apologized. You know, when they confronted her, if she had just fessed up and said, "I'm sorry, guys, I screwed up," I think they would have accepted her apology. You know, like put it all out in the open. There would have been healing. There would have been a moment of confrontation, but there would have been hugs afterwards.
Yeah. I just like the whole thing left me with a bad taste in my mouth. I feel like then she tried to make the quit into like a lot of different things of like, and then people talk about my boobs and like pick one thing that you're quitting about. Yeah. Which is it?
Like, do you miss excuses? You know, you can't say I'm running late because the trains were broken. And also because some other thing was happening. It's one excuse.
Yeah, everybody was mean to me, and then I thought I was going to get to hang out with John Rocker, and it was raining, and then people made fun of my boobs, and like just one, it was one thing, one reason.
Yeah.
That's it.
You get one. You scratched your eye. That's it. Out. Michael Whitaker, what do you think Keith's chances of winning the entire thing are, Rob?
Keith's chances of winning the entire game. I would say 1 in 11. No, I mean, I think he's. I wouldn't have him on my top tier of. I wouldn't have him on my top tier of people that I would pick. I wouldn't have him in the top three, but I feel like he's got a middle of the pack.
I think Keith is top of the pack, but I'm so wrong about everyone. No, I think Keith. I feel like just based on the edit, and you know, it's a hard thing that he's up there. You know, he gets a lot of screen time, a lot of tears, a lot of talk about Wesley. You know, I can see Yeah, a lot of, I can see him doing well.
Okay. Eduardo wants to say, wouldn't it be a better decision for Jeremy and Josh to keep themselves in the game as a shield? If Jeremy gets Josh to be voted out, Jeremy is the number one next target. Should this be a thought that comes up to Jeremy and Josh about keeping each other in the game for the time being? If Jeremy and Josh were to say to each other, hey, why don't we team up? They could dominate this game.
You know what? Fan fiction, right? I don't even think that's what this guy, what Eduardo was saying, is that they should team up.
Fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Are you trapping me with these things?
No.
Like, setting me up here.
I thought that was a good question. I didn't think that was going to be fan fiction response.
The Jeremy and Josh team up is like, you know, it's like, what if Superman and Batman fought each other?
That's happening.
It's a great comic. It's a great comic.
That's happening. Yeah.
But it's an alternate, you know, what if, you know.
Well, let me give you the real Survivor example. Boston Rob and Russell Hance.
What if Boston Rob and Russell Hance teamed up? It's just like a moving chess pieces. Now, I mean, I do think there's an argument that you can make, which is keep the threatening guy in the game. If you're Josh, you want the threat there to be a focus for people's attention so they stop thinking about you, right? And that was Tony's strategy, was always keep Spencer in the game for as long as possible, because Spencer, you know, no one wants to go to the end against Spencer more than they don't want to go to the end against Tony. So there's definitely some real logic there. I mean, the counter argument is, you know, you want the guy who's working hardest against you gone, and so you can pick off his alliance. But definitely a case to be made for that.
Yeah, I think it's just a trust issue that Josh can't trust Jeremy. Jeremy can't trust Josh, and they're never going to be able to reconcile that. And the thing that makes it really hard is that Reed is in the game. You know, yeah. If Reed was gone, Josh could go to, you know, Jeremy and say, hey, let's work together. But, you know, it's always going to be an issue with, you know, Josh and Reed and Jeremy. You know, one thing where I think that Josh did a not such a great job was when Josh was pitching to John and Jacqueline about why they should go. And he said, like, I mean, if it's two successful Broadway guys and Jeremy, who's a firefighter in the final three, who's the jury going to give the money to?
Right.
And that was probably the biggest sin that we saw tonight, of the not putting the person's self-interest that you're pitching first. It was like, how am I supposed to win the game in the final two when it's me and Reed and Jeremy?
Wait, what?
John, when Josh went to John and Jacqueline,
right?
He said one of his arguments was that we have to get rid of Jeremy is because him right. and Reed are
well,
successful.
I don't hate that argument. You want the bigger jury threat out of the game.
Yes, but he pitched it to John as
like, I didn't see that. I the way I read that pitch was, who do you think is going to win this game? You know, the firemen or the successful Broadway guys. I didn't see him saying, if there's a final three of you, me, you know, of us and him, who's going to be, you know, I thought it was more like he's the bigger jury threat was the point.
But that argument needs to be, hey, who's going to
be?
Yeah. Right. Who's going to win the game? The Michigan football player, the former Miss Michigan, or the firefighter? Not right, like, take right. Stop. Don't put John can't follow that. Stop it. Okay.
What?
John's just thinking about what he's going to eat next. Have you ever heard of a person that's more, I mean, it's like being on Survivor with Pac-Man. All he wants, he's just, eat.
Yeah.
Too much. All right. Sam Lane.
Did anyone else notice how Julie and Jacqueline had two buffs each? Is this a new thing? Maybe Julie had three buffs because her boobs are too big.
Oh, come on. Stop. You're going to make her quit. Stop talking about the boobs.
Did Eliza call her Tits McGee? Is that right?
Taters. Okay. So, yeah. You don't have to make it about the boobs, Steven.
Yeah, that's what I apologize. B. Smith wants to know, best part of the
entire episode. We don't know why she had two buffs. We don't know.
You know what? Sometimes they give you another buff, you lose a buff, they give you a new buff, and then you find your other buff.
Yeah, I had an issue with the buff color. It was like, okay, so, all right, so, Hunapu, you guys are light blue. All right, here's your new merge buff color. It's teal. Like, you can't have a light blue buff and then the merge buff is teal.
Hashtag teal.
Hashtag teal buff. What do you think?
How about that? The first tribe hashtag name.
Steven, one of my survivor pet peeves is when the survivors get together and like, oh, what should we name the tribe for the merge? It's like, hashtag. Hey, why don't we combine the two names together? Could we be any less creative?
But who knows? Yeah. Look, I agree with you. No one likes the combined name.
Stop it, everybody. Stop it, survivors. Stop it.
My name, my goal tribe name, if I'm ever back on the show, name the tribe Jeff Probst. So Jeff Probst always has to say, come on in, Jeff Probst.
The merge tribe name is never even used. It's just like a Chiron on a
come on in, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to merge tribe name is going to be lower third. That's going to be the name of the merge tribe that I suggest.
Yeah.
It's going to be very meta. B. Smith says, best part of the entire episode was the dateable post-merge reference.
All right. That was the best part of the episode.
Yes. So that's become, people have gotten on us here on Robin's Podcast. Like, stop talking about merge, dateable. Just stop talking about that. It's over. It's not over. There's new life now. Hey, is Julie not dateable anymore?
She made the merge. That was great though. I thought that was really funny. And it was great that he'd seen the season. That was inspiring.
Okay. Let's do one or two more questions.
Ian wants to know, doesn't it seem like Muffin unintentionally pushed Julie to quit? She refused to be used by them. I don't think she pushed him, but
she didn't. For me, shades of going all the way back to, Survivor Palau. And Janu wanting to quit to spite people that wanted her to stay in the game.
Yeah.
So, that's, sometimes these quitters, they're like, oh, well, that if I can't win the game and I'm going to quit, well, I'm going to screw over people that want me to stay because they don't care about me. They just want me
to
stay.
They're looking for reasons. They're looking for reasons is what it is. Like, she wants to quit. And she's trying to come up with a rationalization.
Yeah, it's like
I don't think Muffin helped. I think Muffin could have given her more of her sustenance, some more sustenance from the Muffin.
Okay, more motherly love from the Muffin.
More motherly love from Muffin.
Yeah. Well, she tried to do the like, hey, just you get in the back seat, and I'm gonna take you tomorrow. I need you tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Irishland, who do you think is getting played, but they don't know it yet?
Alec. Yeah.
Interesting. Who's getting played and they don't know it yet? Let me see. Alec's a good one.
That's the answer. That's the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
I want to say John and Jacqueline too.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, definitely if John and Jacqueline make the switch, which it looks like they're doing, they are getting played, because it is a terrible, terrible strategic move for them.
Okay. Steven, what do you think is going to be the setup here for the jury? So 11 people now, what do you think? Are we got final two, 9-person jury, final three
or 9-2? I hope it's jury. 9-2. I mean, what a great moment. I'm still talking. Last night I had a conversation about, Wu's choice of Tony over Cass. Like, the final two moments can be great moments. I mean, no offense.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. All right. So, Stephen Fishback, check out his blog on people.com where he tries to tell you why Josh Reed is deserving of the fishy.
Yeah. You know what? You can agree with me or disagree with me, but the important thing is
click the article.
You click the link. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll be back tomorrow with my exit interview with the recently departed from the game, Julie. Just checking my email, making sure that I have not gotten word that she's going to not be doing the interview. So
yeah, but neither did production, Rob.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So she still is on track as of 7:45 p.m. Pacific time for exit interview tomorrow. Go ahead.
Do you remember when Dan Lembo quit the podcast?
Yes.
Was that one of the moments?
Did you listen to that in the 1000th RHAP episode?
Was it?
Yeah, that was one that made the cut, Steven. Spoiler.
To listening to
spoiler.
It
You can hear Stephen Fishback also in the 1,000th Rob as a podcast episode that we did this week.
Moment, maybe my favorite moment, not involving me.
It's a fun moment. It's a fun moment. Check that out on robhasawebsite.com. So Thursday, we'll also talk with Parvati. We'll have questions from you guys for Parvati on our Facebook page, and then get your voicemails in for Josh Wiggler, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Stephen, big news this week. We announced in the 1,000th podcast that the Rob Has a Podcast app is here.
What?
Yes. Yes.
What? You have an app?
We have an app. You can listen to of Rob Has a Podcast.
In the App Store?
Yes, in the Apple iOS App Store. You can get listen to all of the Rob Has a Podcast post-show recaps and reality TV wrap-ups all in one place in the same app. Plus, you've got lots of sound effects as well, Stephen.
Oh my God. Is there I'm not even gonna ask.
Plus, makes it a lot easier to go through the Rob Has a Podcast archives. You can get that at robhasawebsite.com/app or click the banner in the sidebar.
What's the icon on your face?
No, it's not my face. It's the bell. It's the bell. Also,
that's pretty good. The bell's pretty good.
Yeah. One last thing. Speaking of the bell, about 5 days are left for the new Rob Has a Podcast t-shirt before that's going to go to print.
That's nice. That's a nice shirt.
If you want to check that out, go to robhasawebsite.com/bell shirt. All right. So, Stephen Fishback, thank you again for coming on with us. Looking forward to doing it again next week, where we get to see finally the rematch, Jeremy versus Josh. Yeah. Who's going to come out on top next week? Have a great night, everybody. Stephen, you want to get a hashtag?
Hashtag. What's the tribe name? I don't remember the tribe.
No, that's going to be too many people using the hashtag. Yeah. Anything else from the episode that you liked?
I mean, oh my God, there's so many great moments. What about the dating thing? No, that's not it. Get in the back seat. Back seat?
Get in the back seat?
Yeah. Back seat. Is that a hashtag?
Sure. Why not? Why not?
I don't know. Anyway, this is not my forte.
Not Steven's forte. All right. Now you could use that as the hashtag also.
Forte.
Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.
Good night, guys.